Aren't you so glad that our God is good, even when there's nothing good in me? He's bigger than our fears and our frustrations and our sins. Once we've asked him into our heart, his grace covers those things even when we fail, right? Because he's good. That's our God. And so if you need to hear that truth this morning, proclaim that truth, sing this out.
You are light when the darkness grows.
scripture here. Psalm 8. This is just part of Psalm 8 here. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of the children and infants, and you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? It's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that God, the creator of the universe, would care about me, just me, and you. And so, if you need to hear that this morning, that he's not only the holder of the stars and the universe and our earth and the heavens, but he's the holder of you. When you need him, he's there to hold you. Amen. So if you need to proclaim that this morning, this song is called Stars.
I get so lost with you.
Sometimes as Christians, we live similar to what we lived into the past, and we don't claim the power that we hold as soon as we accept Christ. There's that power that he has that he wants us to access when we're frustrated, when we're stuck in sin, when we're even complacent. He wants us to reach in there and get that resurrection power and claim it as a truth and guard it against the lies of Satan, because he wants to lie to you and wants to keep you complacent, wants to keep you in your place, wants to keep you frustrated and sad and unmotivated. That's where Satan wants you to stay, and those are lies. And I really believe, and I said this morning in the first service, is that I really believe in the power of the spoken word. When you're speaking specifically to Satan and he's got you trapped in a place or he's got you frustrated, that if you speak out loud against him in the name of Jesus Christ, he has to flee. Amen? That's our God. And if we don't use that, then he wins, right? Satan wins. And so I really believe that the spoken word is powerful against the tricks and the deception of Satan. And so I hope that you'll use that power, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, that you'll use that power that you hold that sometimes we just kind of take for granted every day. Amen? So let's sing about that resurrection power. Thank you. Not only do we have a good God, we have a merciful God that gave his all for us. He gave his life away so that his grace could cover my sins when I couldn't. He could make a way for us to get to God when we couldn't. And he chose to do that for you and me. So let's sing this out.
Happy New Year yet again. Is everybody having a good New Year? We started off with a major storm and the loss of power and crazy roads. But anyway, you know what? It's good. It just kind of shows you that is everything over and better because the New Year changed the calendar. We flipped it. It's still going to be filled with challenges, amen? It's still going to have some struggles, amen? But who holds it? It's God, right? You know, it's been interesting as I've been kind of thinking about what do we do and where do we go and, Lord, what can encourage? And I don't want to sound like a broken record by any stretch of the imagination of kind of saying, you know what, we know God's in control. want everybody to remain calm. It kind of feels like we've been there for 2 years. And of course, with my mom being here, I was saying, you know, what can I do this month that will give me time with her? Because I only have a limited amount of time with her, so I've been trying to be selfish with my time. And I've been trying to prepare, and I was thinking about where we needed to head, and a book came to mind, which was called The Beautiful Mess by Rick McKinley. And it was one of those books that I read a couple of years ago, and it really challenged my heart, and it challenged my mind, and I got a few new books for Christmas, and what I try to do is I read several books at a time, but I brought this one back out a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of pondering some of its thoughts, and I couldn't help but get excited about the kingdom of God. And that's kind of the subject of this book, Beautiful Mess. And I was saying, you know, this pastor kind of thought outside of the box, and he really started to think about the kingdom of God. And I said, you know what? This is a place we need to camp for a few weeks. That the kingdom has come. And the kingdom is coming when we start to look at that. You know, and when we start to talk about that concept of the kingdom of God, there is a lot of thoughts that may come to your mind. There's a lot of different understandings. And I was trying to wrestle some of those to the ground even this past week. And I want you to, again, be reminded that the kingdom of God is a physical place. Amen? You know, I was saying to my mom, we don't hear a lot of preachers preaching about heaven or hell. And to me, that's a bad thing. Because heaven and hell are real places, and we should acknowledge that. Then the Barna group comes out, who started studying the church and what they believed in about the mid-90s, and they started to understand that many evangelical Christians don't believe in a physical hell, which boggles my mind, because if there's no physical hell, then why should there be a physical heaven? And yet, you know what? We understand that there is this place called the New Jerusalem, and there is a place that is prepared for the great banquet, and it's going to be the staging place for all of our eternity. And it's John saw it in Revelation. I want to read that for us just to remind us that it's a physical place. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" That should excite us. That should excite us. And if you are a world watcher, which I don't know how you could ignore it over the past 2 years, you need to understand that the New Jerusalem is coming soon. It's coming soon. And you know, there's been times where we say, well, boys, I was preached that as a baby when I was just a young whippersnapper way back in the day. And you hear some of the old timers say that. And I think about this, but you know, when we look at the world, we have never seen the world change so drastically in such a short time. That the world would be shut down, that the world, many would start to cooperate, that we would start to see governments in the guise of emergency power start to take freedoms and rights that people had gotten used to. And it's been amazing to me, and it happened so fast that I can't help but say that I believe that the New Jerusalem is coming soon. It's the kingdom of God. It's a physical place. And you know, it's kind of interesting. Jesus talked about it when he was questioned by Pilate. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus answers Pilate. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." He states it again and again that the kingdom is coming, but it's not of this world, that physical place, that New Jerusalem. Or how about in Matthew 25, verse 34, when there's this great sorting for eternity that's taking place before the throne room of God. It says again that it's a place. It said, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. It's a place. The New Jerusalem, a physical thing. And it's coming soon, and we need to be ready. And again, I hope that as you understand that the kingdom of God is coming soon, the place, that you would be filled with a zeal, because we're talking about all eternity. And so our friends and our family, and yes, even our enemies that don't know the king, they cannot enter the kingdom. And that should fill you with zeal, with urgency, because, you know, when we talk about the horror of hell, for the longest time, when I was a kid, I heard it preached, fire and brimstone. That, to me, is not the horror of hell. The horror of hell is an eternity without the God that we were made for. And that's a long, long time to be taken from the one who truly loves us. And those examples of heaven as a place are real. And it's a reward, and it's coming soon. So what do? We simply sit here and wait? Partially, yes. We're called to be watching and waiting. You're called to have your lamps trimmed. You're called to be very much alert in the time in which we live. But we shouldn't just simply be waiting and that's it. Because it's more than a place. When we talk about the kingdom come, I want you to know that that is throughout Jesus' teachings, that he's not just talking about a place, but he's talking about a world with a different essence, a heart that can be changed. He spoke of an ideal, a faith in motion. So more than just a coming place, I want you to understand today that Jesus taught us that the kingdom come was a possibility. The kingdom come should be a present reality. The kingdom come can be a genuine experience that awaits you a moment by moment for the believer to dive into. You heard the old Oak Ridge boys, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And I saw that in the church so much of my life, and I never wanted to be that. I wanted to be heavenly minded, yes, but I want it to be earthly good, right? I think of the teaching in Matthew 6, when all of a sudden Jesus is teaching us to pray, and he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, it's amazing to me because so many people aren't necessarily paying attention to his words, and that's kind of interesting to me. They still think that Jesus was only talking about a physical place that is to come. And you know, it's kind of interesting because, again, John referred to that in his revelation, but the phrasing, you must catch that this morning. He says, our Father, who art in heaven, the place, hallowed be your name. You are God, you are righteous, you are almighty, you are holy, you are the one, and you are completely above us. May your kingdom come. Okay, the physical place should be praying for his return. But may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that look like to you? Because when we look over the teachings of Jesus, we see that theme of God's will woven throughout his sermons. That it's not just a place, the kingdom of God, that it's an essence in which we should live. It's also a ministry that we should take upon ourselves. Matthew 6 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Luke 17, 20, 21. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. You see, it's coming, but the kingdom on earth is already available to us. It's in our midst, Matthew 16, 19. I will give you the keys of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That God wants the kingdom to transcend boundaries. So yes, the kingdom of God is a place, heaven, the New Jerusalem, and it's coming soon. And I hope that we'd be watching and waiting
but equally understood, our hands are not tied while we wait for the kingdom. The kingdom is already awaiting your partnership now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's the kingdom come that so many believers, it boggles my mind. The church becomes the only time of worship instead of living a life of worship. That's sad to me. Now, am I saying they're going to miss out on the kingdom to come? No, I'm not saying that at all. Grace and mercy, I'll be the first one to tell you it's a lot bigger than most of us feel and understand. But I get sad because they're missing out on the kingdom that awaits them right now. I hope that we get it. Think about this. God invites you to be a part of his moving, his working, and his miracles around the globe right now. Think about that. He welcomes you to join in changing the world, changing the community, changing our families, helping to change our friends and our enemies. That's not just mind-altering. It should be action-inducing. It should fill you with zeal. It should fill you with awareness of opportunities that are around you. You see, kingdom things are all around us, aren't they? Right? They're all around us. And so let me ask you this question this morning. If kingdom things are all around us, are you about kingdom things? You know, one of the questions that I ask myself often is this one too. I don't share this one with you guys often. Like, the big one is, how has eternity changed? Because I've been given another week on planet Earth. I think if you ask that, it'll change the way you live. Right? That's a very important one. I hope that you would always ask, how has eternity changed? Because I've been given another week on planet Earth. But here's another question that I would love for you to ask. Would people associate you with the kingdom or simply a church? It's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? You see, I don't want to be known for Digby Wesleyan, although I'm proud of this place. That's too small. I want to be known for kingdom things because that's my calling. If we've learned anything over the last 2 years, we've learned that the church has limitations, doesn't it? That all of a sudden we could be shut down from week to week, and I'm trying to prepare you guys. If numbers keep going up, I believe we'll be meeting online again. Now, do I hope that? Absolutely not. There is nothing more discouraging than talking to a microphone and not having an audience. It's weird, right? And again, we'll do whatever we're called upon to do, but you need to understand that the church has limitations. But here's the truth. You shouldn't need a church to plan opportunities for you to be generous. You should just be generous. It should be in your veins. It should be in your DNA. You shouldn't need a church to plan opportunities for you to serve because you're called to be a servant. You shouldn't need a church to plan opportunities for you to evangelize because each and every one of us is called to be an evangelist. And we're going to go back to that another week as we talk about this idea of the kingdom of God. But I want you to know that if your identity is in a church alone, then you are missing out on the blessings of God in the kingdom to come. We can't just be so narrow-minded that if our connection to the kingdom is only a church, well, then the church falls. The church has limitations. Leaders make mistakes. And yet, you know what? The kingdom of God all the while we focus in on the church sometimes, the kingdom of God is awaiting your partnership right now. What an honor. Like, think about that with me. That God Almighty has a position for you. And we understand that, but sometimes we say, well, I need to do a spiritual gifts test, and I need to see what Andrew has for a sign-up sheet, and you know what, then I'll pray about it, and if I see something that seems to be good and not too annoying, and it fits into my schedule, and I seem to have enough means to be a part of that ministry, I might bless someone else. Woo! Go church. Now I'm going, no, 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 no! The King of all of the universe has a position for you. We need to recognize that he longs for you to be a part of of what he is doing right now around the globe. And you think about that. You know, if we were asked to be a part of something bigger or something special, so for instance, if you're a teacher, wouldn't it be an honor if the best university was to call and say, you know what, we need you, we want you. We don't care what it costs, we don't care what it takes, we want you because you're just that good. If you were a fisherman and the best company called you, the richest company, and they said, you know what, whatever you want a new boat, you tell us how you want it built. There's no price that we won't pay. We want you to come. We want you to work for us because you're just that talented. If you were an artist and the biggest galleries in the world wanted to hang your art, how honored would you feel? You see, opportunities are flattering. Well, think about this. God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the Savior of the world wants to partner with you in bringing his kingdom. Should I say it again? That God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the Savior of the world, wants to partner with you in bringing about his kingdom. And yet for many, we ignore the call. Just don't want to get involved. Or for many, you know what? The church has been closed seemingly for 2 years. Been too many limitations. You know what? Can't. My opportunities have been stripped from me. You see, when the identity of the church becomes a limitation, why do we dismiss the invitation of God? Why do we miss it? Well, I've seen kind of two reasons. This is the scary one. A lot of times we're too busy building our own kingdoms. Do you know that everything you have is going to be left behind? Do you know that all the castles that you build, they're being built in sand? And I'm not saying that they're not fun, and I'm not saying that they're not rewarding, and I'm not saying that God doesn't long to bless you with things that will pass, because he does. He longs to bless you so that you can be a blessing for others. But so often we get so focused on the building of our own kingdom that we forget about the kingdom come. So we may be there. That's a selfish thing, right? It's fleeting. At times we're so busy with these castles in the sand that we forget that they'll be destroyed. I know this week when I was driving with my mother, we had to go get a Rompier pie pan. Elias, this last holiday, has learned to make Rompier pie. It was so funny. He sat down with Joanne and he said, I've never made this. I want to make it. So no sooner had we didn't even have it all eaten. And he was like, Dad, you need to buy me a pan. And I'm like, okay, we'll go get you a pan. So I took my mom for a drive and I said to Nana, I said, we need to stop in at the shipbuilding shop. I said, it's in Matagan. I said, we're going to go in and we're going to get a pan for Elias. And then we're going to go to Yarmouth. We'll check out the Christian bookstore, do a few things. And she said, that's wonderful, that's fine. So we went there, and we got him this pan. And he was quite excited about all that. But while we were driving, my mom and I were talking about the church. And she was talking about the church that hurt her early on in her life and early on in her marriage. She talked about a pastor's wife who used to hang signs, messages for my mom on big sheets of cardboard, late again, aren't we? She'd write that down, late again, aren't we? My mother used to rip them up and throw them in the garbage. And I said, wow, like I can't imagine some of those hurtful things being done by a church. When my brother and I were kids, our favorite time, because we didn't get to see my dad very often because he worked, so we would watch Disney World on Sunday night. We would have Chinese food that you put in the oven, you know, in those little tin containers and stuff. And so that was one of our favorite times. Well, then they started an evening service on Sunday night. And regardless of it being our family night, every time my mom missed, which was very rarely, but every time she missed, she would get yelled at the very next Sunday that she went. And I was listening to my mom, and I was saying, you know, I am so glad that you didn't stay in that place, because it didn't seem to be a place of love. And I remember as a kid, my mom leaving and going to another place. And this place that she went to, this place was worried about kids. This place had a beautiful kids ministry. This place, you could talk in church without being shushed. You know what I'm saying? And I said to my mom, I said, I want to thank you for making that move, because my brother and I grew up with heroes. With heroes. Men and women who loved us, men and women who challenged us, men and women who prayed for us, men and women who influenced us because they had the kingdom mindset to understand that what they were doing, even in that moment, could echo. And I still have heroes. I was thinking of some of those heroes who've gone before, like Don and Victor and Glendon. I was thinking of some of those heroes that I still have today. You know, when Chris is going out and cutting wood because he wants to kill the world, but he knows the best place for him to be is to cut wood, and it's not because his back is feeling good either. And I love that. When I hear of Rob being generous to someone else, I hear of Lola trying to challenge someone who is maybe talking bad about another. When I see Greg just using the business to bless the community, I have heroes today. Because those people aren't too busy building their own kingdom. They're busy building the kingdom of God, because they understand that the kingdom has come. So I want to challenge you today to be busy about building the right kingdom, and that would be the kingdom of God. But another reason that I feel that people stay away from building the kingdom of God is because they feel unworthy. And I get that. That's a lie of the enemy, but I get that. It's designed from the pit of hell to keep you out of the holy war, to keep you sitting on the sidelines feeling sorry for yourself. I think of those tattoos. One of them was called, did you ever see that one, Beautiful Disaster, on somebody's arm or head or whatever? Beautiful Disaster. And I'm thinking, what a contradiction. And yet it explains so many people's mindset, even in the family of God, that they understand that they were made to be beautiful, but there they are, insecure, feeling like a disaster. And that insecurity seems to trump all. So we listen to the enemy's whispers instead of the truth from the Father. What do? There's a lot of times those in the kingdom, they feel unworthy that the kingdom has come to them. They feel unworthy that the kingdom needs them. So they sit on the sidelines and they put their head down and they try to stay out of the way. All the while, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, is waiting to partner with you in kingdom things right now. In both those situations, whether you are focused on the wrong kingdom or whether you feel ill-equipped, both are equally damning. That while the kingdom of God is blooming all around you, you choose not to be involved in the right things. And here's the truth. Does God need you to accomplish his will? Nope. He doesn't need you at all. God's will be accomplished with or without you. But the Creator of the universe invites you to take that ride with him that will transform all of eternity for both you and those in your circle of influence. He doesn't need you. He invites you. Why in the world wouldn't you jump on that invitation? Why wouldn't you rejoice that the kingdom has come? Everybody bow your heads. Whew. Stop building the things that will fade away. And stop feeling unworthy and listening to the lies of the enemy. You should be a part of something that's eternal. So this is what I want to do. Maybe you are here today and you just don't have that vision. You got a vision problem. You got an eye problem. You just don't see the kingdom things around you. Maybe that's you today. I want you to know that I know one who touches blind eyes and makes them see. So if you have a vision problem, I know a feller who can fix that. That if you ask for him to open your eyes to see kingdom things right now in this place, he'll not only give you a vision for the needs that are around you, but he'll make the new Jerusalem ever more clear, filling you with an urgency that cannot be quenched. Do you need help with your vision today? Maybe you need courage to join in the kingdom things. Because whether you feel unworthy, whether you feel ill-equipped, whether you just feel scared because you're an introvert, it doesn't matter what the issue is that's keeping you from kingdom things. I want you to know that he has the courage for you to join in anything. If you would only ask for it, you would receive. But nothing would hold you back. That you'd be filled with a cautious boldness. Can I say that? That you'd be letting him lead, and you'd be moving mountains on his behalf. But make no mistake, you'd be moving the right mountains. Oh, that you'd long to be a part of the kingdom. Because while the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming, and it's coming soon, you need to know that the kingdom has already come. Don't miss the invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God. Whew. No better calling. Whew. Doesn't matter what your profession is. We're talking about something bigger than your profession. Don't miss the calling. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you this morning. Lord, I know it's been a crazy week for people, and it's been a crazy couple of days with the storm and the loss of power. But Lord, again, I pray that our vision would never be so shallow as to miss the kingdom. To miss the kingdom, not only the kingdom that's coming, but the kingdom that has already come. Those who are around us, the needs. Those who are around us, the hurts. Those who are around us, the frailty, the instability. Would we not miss the kingdom opportunities that you have? Lord, I pray that we would have a new vision, that we'd see those things around us. And Lord, wisdom that comes with that, I pray that we wouldn't be caught like a dog chasing our tail, but you would bring us to very real needs, and we'd have very real responses, very real resources to help out where we can help out. And even if it's just being a listening ear, would we not dismiss all of the opportunities that you have before us? I pray that your kingdom that is coming would be so clear in our mind that we would have a zeal to preach the kingdom that has come. That, Lord, we would ask for just individuals to come across our path, that we'd be able to love and to give an answer for the hope that we have. Lord, I love it. Those believers who are watching and waiting, because we're told to do that. But Father God, I pray that while we watch and wait, we'd be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we'd be associated with something way bigger than a church. Oh, I pray that we'd be associated with the kingdom of God. That's your invitation to us. And I pray that we wouldn't dismiss it or ignore it. Instead, we'd receive it and walk in your leading. I pray all those things on this new year to come. In Jesus' name, amen.